Let's bow in prayer. Father, we've read your word. We thank you for it. We pray that you might change our lives as we see your incredible generosity to us, and that we might be generous too in every aspect of our being. We pray this through Jesus our Lord. Amen. You will have noticed, as Leone was reading that reading and you were following it through, that this chapter is all about money, and therefore I'm going to preach about money. That wasn't why I chose this passage. I chose it rather because of a promise that is contained in this passage and is repeated. It's a and it's a promise that is not confined to money. If you've got your Bibles there, please open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, because I want to do two things. I want to show you what the promise does not say, and then show you what it does say. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 does not say, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all the money that you need, you will abound in every good work." God writes something far bigger than that, doesn't he? He says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." I'm glad God wrote it that way. Simply because, for all of us, our finances are the last thing we put under God's control. It's the thing that we naturally hold on to. And if these words are true, and if we can trust God with our finances, then it's going to be easy to trust him in everything. So let me show you why you should trust God in your finances and work on from there. Your God provides you with everything that you need. God will bless you abundantly so that you will always have everything you need. You will always be enriched in every way. Why? So that you can abound in every good work, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And that's an incredible promise and also an incredible purpose. So let's see what these words mean in terms of our finance first. The opening five verses are Paul putting this chapter into context. In fact, it's only half of the chapter. Chapters 8 and 9 go together, but we're ignoring chapter 8 at this stage because there's too much in it. Paul had been in Corinth years earlier, and the Corinthian church had found out that the church in Jerusalem was in need. There was a famine, and they were in need. And so the Corinthian people said, "We're going to promise to send money across to them." And now Paul is saying, "The time has come to send that money. I want to make sure that you're ready. And so I'll give you a few principles." And notice the principles that are given here, and they do not mention anything in terms of dollars or percentages or in any other way you want to refer to your money. The first principle is God says, "Give because you have decided to give." That's in verse 7. You see, when it comes to giving, most of us still live in the Old Testament. Jesus had a real go at the Pharisees, because the Pharisees obeyed the laws because they were laws. And Jesus said to them, You've missed the whole point of it. And that's what we're like. We would love God to say, you should be putting this amount into the offering plate. You should be giving this amount to that charity and that charity and that charity, you know, and so forth. We'd love him to say, you have that much to live off, use that much as a donation to someone else. God doesn't say that. Why? Because he doesn't want you to be a slave to the law. When you became a Christian, God made you a daughter or a son, not a slave. God gave you a mind. He gave you a brain so that you can think things through and make sensible and good decisions. And he made you, each and every one of you, different from me and different from each other. So don't expect the solutions you come up with to be the same as everyone else, or possibly even the same as anyone else. Unless, of course, you're married and therefore you've got to work things out together. If you have one bank account, if you've got two bank accounts, that's your problem. In verse 7, God says, each of you should give what he has decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Work out in partnership with your God what is the right amount to give. Secondly, in verse 2, God says to us, give eagerly or enthusiastically. Verse 2, for I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year, you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them into action. What are you enthusiastic about? It's the things that matter to you, the things that are first priority, isn't it? If you rank things off and something comes down at number 60, and you give to them or want to help them, you're not going to be really keen about it, are you? Because there are 59 things that come in your ranking before that. You give to the things that are a priority to you. When I lived in Grenfell, there was a street stall every week outside the IGA, and most of the organisations that ran street stalls had a raffle, and so everyone that came along put their $2 into the kitty and took a raffle ticket, or if they were really feeling generous, they put $10 in, took 5 raffle tickets. There was no eagerness and no enthusiasm in it. It was just helping your mate. Because it was a small community, you were either related to somebody who was there on the stall, or they were your neighbour or a friend, or you knew them. God says, don't give like that. Be eager about what you do. Be enthusiastic. If you can't give enthusiastically and eagerly, don't give at all, because you don't really mean it. Verse 7 also says, be cheerful about your giving. Don't be reluctant or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. This is just an extension of being eager and enthusiastic. As you give, have a smile on your face. Mean it. I really want to give. The fourth point, after being, you know, make up your own mind about where you're going to give. Give eagerly and enthusiastically, give cheerfully. Give, fourthly, to meet real needs. Verse 12 speaks about this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people. They were to give to real needs. God is saying to you, do your research. Don't just give because there's been some emotional appeal that really tears at your heartstrings. There's plenty of them around the place. Put a little child on the TV with tears in their faces and you're going to give, aren't you? It's not meaningful. You don't know whether you're being conned or whether it's a child whom somebody else has the responsibility for looking after. Give because you know that the one to whom you're giving, being a person or an organisation, has a real need or can meet a real need. Fifthly, verse 11, give generously. You will be made rich in every occasion so that you can be generous on every occasion. You might not have the love of mathematics that I have, but in this chapter, the word generous or generosity is used 7 times. It matters. It's an important word in this chapter. Generosity is something that mirrors God's attitude in giving. It's something he expects of his children as we bear his image that we'll be generous too. But generosity does not have a monetary figure on it. Jesus said that the poor widow who threw 2 tiny copper coins, the smallest coins you could have in those days, like for us, she threw in 2 5-cent pieces into the treasury. And Jesus said she gave more than the fellows who laid a whole bundle of banknotes in. She gave everything. And notice that this passage doesn't talk about giving to the church. I hope that you're going to give, that you do give to the church as a member, as someone who's committed to here. But follow these guidelines that are here mentioned in here. Give because you decided to give. Give eagerly. Give cheerfully. Give generously. Give to meet real needs. But there's a 6th point here. There's a motivation for giving. And it's in the last verse. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Who is that gift?
Jesus.
It's Jesus, yes. It's Jesus. Jesus whom we celebrate today in the Lord's Supper. Jesus who humbled himself, he left heaven and came to obscurity. Jesus, who is a baby and as a child and as a young person and as an adult, was humble. He took you from being an outcast to being a son or daughter of God. He took you from being a nobody to being a princess or prince of the King of Kings. He took you from being a sinner to being holy and righteous. You were lost and are now found. You were blind and now you have perfect eyesight. You were dead, and he has made you alive again forever. And all this is free, a free gift, so generously given by the one person who owes you nothing, God himself. And then on top of it, you have this gift of this promise. He says, I am able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work and be generous on every occasion. Is the promise real? A number of years ago, Lloyd found himself in church, as was his regular place to be on a Sunday morning. He sat down Lloyd, if I remember rightly, normally took up the offering. Lloyd realised early in the service that the only thing he had in his pocket, in his wallet, was a $50 note. His bank account was as close to zero as they allow you. He had nothing else to live on for the whole of the week. Lloyd quickly made the decision he couldn't afford to put anything in the plate that Sunday. But that was a problem to him, and he struggled with it. By the time of the offering, he had come to the conclusion that he had to trust God. So he put the $50 note in and walked out of the church with nothing for the week. During that week, Lloyd told me, people invited him out for meals. Somebody else dropped in a meal or two. And everything else he needed for that week was just given to him. God provided every need that he had that week because he trusted God. And the question is, do you trust this promise that's here? That in every way, at every time, let me say this, God will bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you'll be able to do whatever God wants you to do. Will you trust him? Think about everything you possess. I don't know what you possess. Some of you might have a property that is worth $1 million and then you've got a couple of bob to go with it. Some of you might have nothing. But even if you have nothing, you have a government who pays you something. And we have Medicare that helps us with all sorts of medical situations. We have so much. Don't compare yourself with the richest person on the earth. Compare yourself with the person in the refugee camp who is in a long line holding a child who is dying, knowing that you're not going to get to the front of the line before the child dies. Compare yourself to someone who's sitting beside a heap of rubble in Syria or Turkey, knowing that that rubble is your house, and under the rubble is everyone else in your family. They're the ones we compare ourselves with, not the rich. And then everything that you've learned today or been reminded of applies equally to every other area of your life. As I said in the beginning, it is in all things at all times, having everything that you need for everything, God will abundantly bless you. And notice it's for a purpose. Like Abraham, you are blessed to be a blessing. God has given you and me more than we need so that we can be generous with others. You want to know how generous he is? Darlene Diebler Ross was a missionary with her husband in Sulawesi, one of the big islands in Indonesia. She'd gone there with him before the beginning of World War II. And during the war, the Japanese came in and took both of them to internment camps, separate camps. Her husband died in the camp he was sent to. Darlene was subjected to torture. And as she was being tortured, Jesus put in her mind, love your enemies, do good to those who despitefully use you. Her only thoughts were for revenge. And yet eventually she came to the point where she prayed, without you, Lord, what would I have become? Forgive me, Lord. Soon after that, she was given the opportunity to go before the commandant of the camp. And she told him about Jesus. Told him he needed to turn to Jesus, that Jesus loved him. Sometime later, she was in solitary confinement, looking through the cracks of the bamboo enclosure she was in. She saw an Indonesian lady hand through the boundary of the camp a bunch of bananas to one of her fellow internees. And she prayed, "Oh Lord, please just give me one banana. But Lord, that's impossible. There's more chance of the moon falling on the earth than the Japanese giving me a banana. It's impossible. There's no way, Lord, that they will do it." The next day, the guard unlocked the door of the cell she was in and threw in several bunches of bananas. And she fell on her knees before God. But before she had the chance even to say thank you, God said to her, "That is what I delight in, to give exceedingly above anything you ask or even imagine." What has God given you? He's given you your life. Share it with others. He's given you money and possessions. Share them and use them to help others. He's given you a voice. Speak to others about how good he is to you and how good he wants to be to them. He's given you abilities. Use them to help other people. He's given you Jesus. Introduce others to him, who means everything to you. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. That's his promise. You can trust him completely. Let's bow in prayer. Father, your promise is so big it's hard to take it in. And because we can't take it in, it's hard to believe. Forgive our unbelief. Open our eyes to see you as far more generous than we even imagine, and to trust you with everything, and to use what we have not only to care for ourselves and those for whom we have responsibility, but to use to care for others who are not part of our family, not part of our group. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.